Let's get to our guest. Prashant Bayani is with us, Asia CIO at BNP Paribas Wealth Management, on the line from Singapore. Prashant, thanks for being with us. Do you think we're going to head into recession in the new year? Seems like an easy call to make.
Yes, we're in a moderate recession camp for next year. So for the U.S., likely between Q2 to Q4 next year. Our full year forecast is roughly minus 0.1% GDP. And you can be a little bit overly precise, but the bottom line is we're in a moderate recession camp for next year for the U.S.
And is that going to be the good news? Because it's going to still be severe enough to bring down inflation. We want to see inflation come down, the funds rate get up. Funds rate, many say, has to get above the inflation rate to, to bring this surge down.
Yes, that's correct. And we're forecasting inflation next year in the U.S. around 4.4%, and we get closer to the Fed target, 2.4%, by 2024. Now, if you think about where Fed funds, our forecast for Fed funds is closer to 5% after the January meeting, so 250 basis point increases. So then the Fed funds rate, of course, will be above what we think full-year inflation will be in the U.S. The key is rate of change. We think headline inflation is starting to peak. Lumber prices down 70%, used car prices down 15%.
Yeah.
We're also seeing inventories at the big retailers are much higher. So goods pricing is accelerating, on the downside. But of course, stickier is wages and rents. They act with a lag, and that'll take longer.
So does that necessarily mean that if we get to that 5% terminal rate, that we're going to be there for quite some time before we can even have the discussion around the Fed cutting rates?
Yes, that's correct. Unless we have a very deep recession, we think they're on hold next year. Earliest would be, if we can more than we expect, third or fourth, fourth quarter rate cuts. But on our forecast for a mild recession, they would not be cutting next year at all in terms of Fed funds rate. And I think they'll be cautious to make sure, the wage inflation side stays controlled.
Prashant, what does that mean for stocks? Because presumably, if they're not going to bring rates down companies are still going to have higher costs, right? And if wages don't come down right away, they're going to pay their workers more. Are investors going to kind of get to the point where they say, okay, this is a new economy. It's different now. Inflation's much higher. The Fed is not going to do anything with rates. And so we're going to find the companies that can still make good earnings. Is that the way people do it?
Yeah, stock selection and sector selection will be key. I think when you think about nominal earnings have been flattered by the headline inflation, of course, like you're speaking about. And I think there is earnings risk, as we know, for next year, U.S. earnings growth. Still consensus is plus 6, plus 7% for next year. The market is probably a little bit below that. And we know analysts are over-optimistic. So that doesn't look correct. But nominal earnings are a bit higher because earnings are in nominal terms. But the stock selection will be key. So which companies have pricing power? We've been focusing on healthcare. We've been focusing on financials that benefit from higher rates. But different parts of the sector, and also quality companies, energy. The thing is that... we could see some disappointments in first quarter earnings. We think non-U.S. equities are more favorable at this point than U.S. equities. We're neutral U.S. equities from that perspective. So it's really about stock selection and sector selection rather than the beginning of a new bull market in the U.S.
And country selection, too. If you're talking to me about potential upside, are there jurisdictions in your neck of the woods? I'm thinking APAC region that you think we should look at before we get into the weeds and start to identify companies with that level of potential that you described. I'm wondering whether or not we have to identify certain markets that you want to be exposed to because perhaps their connection with China and the reopening trade or whatever. Are you looking at Taiwan? Are you looking at South Asia? Are you looking at North Asia, Japan, Korea? What is it?
Yeah, for APAC region, we've been overweight Southeast Asia because they reopened this year with a lag compared to U.S. and Europe. So if you look, believe it or not, like Singapore, Indonesia, these kind of markets have outperformed this year, flat to up for the year. We're increasingly, and we've been getting more positive on China for the first time from a global basis since the Party Congress. Why? Two reasons. We priced in zero COVID through all of 2023 after the Party Congress. And second, the property market While it's not bottom, we think it will have a bottom in the coming quarters because they continue to do stimulus, reserve rate cuts, and various other financing vehicles to help local developers. And of course, since the Party Congress, we have seen a loosening of the COVID restrictions in the last 2 weeks. The tone has changed considerably, whether it's on, you know, more of a learning to live with it mentality. Of course, we've got to get through the winter in China. We know the virus is more transmissible, natural immunity is lower. But once we get through that, we get through Chinese New Year and we head into Q2, Q3, we could see a gradual but not big bang reopening. But the stocks were not priced for that. They were priced in for a worse outcome. And that means China is one of the few economies in the world will have faster GDP growth next year than this year after obviously a very big slowdown.
So how much more room to run do you think equities have in China? Is it another 5%? Is it another 40%? How much is this really going to pick up steam once the economy is more open? And we know people in China, we assume anyway, they're going to go out and spend like crazy if they can, right?
Yes, yes, there is significant pent-up demand, of course, similar to what we saw, of course, you know, in the U.S. starting a year ago. I mean, we think in the short term, obviously, we've had a noticeable bounce, and we do have to get through that winter period, so we need to consolidate these gains. If we're correct on the property market bottoming and a gradual in next year, there is, for next year, we think, good upside, 10 to 20% in China equities when we think of where valuation is now. I think it's really about those, you know, placing where you're going to place your bets. You know, I think China is one place that does stand out into next year for equity. But I think the sector calls, like we spoke about earlier, are also important from a global basis.
Are we under
this year? You can see.
I'm sorry, Prashant, yeah. But I'm curious as to whether or not we're underestimating the risk of some kind of geopolitical problem. I mean, whether it's war in Ukraine, here's Putin today doing a little bit of a kind of a mild threat at the use of nuclear weapons. Maybe it caught or created a haven bid in U.S. treasuries. And then we know now that the U.S. is set to pass legislation revamping policy toward Taiwan and restricting government use of Chinese semiconductors, which just underscores this tension that's already there between Washington and Beijing, where semiconductors are involved. Are we underestimating the potential for a flare-up on the geopolitical front?
Tackling those two things, firstly, the deglobalization trades are underway in terms of long-term moving supply chains, you know, like you're speaking about in terms of semiconductors. So that's clearly going to continue. You know, we saw obviously the plants being announced in the U.S. this week, Japan as well. You know, so we're seeing a number of countries diversify supply chains. So that's a longer-term story, and that means moderately higher inflation at the margin in medium term. With regards to Ukraine, it's a very tough call, of course, in terms of calling how that's going to play out. Clearly, if this war intensifies outside Ukraine's borders, then the market would have a correction.
So in terms of the China trade, what about the countries around China? What about all the Asian companies and countries that are going to benefit from, even if it takes a few months, this return to growth at a higher level in China?
Yeah, North Asia, which has been heavily penalized along with China and also has been more closed from a COVID perspective, stand to benefit. So countries like Korea, of course, which are big exporters, both on cyclical side, but also even domestic consumption, and certain sectors, of course, also in Taiwan and other countries. So yes, and even also sectors in Japan would benefit from a gradual China reopening, given the fact their trade relationship and the supply chain integration with China.
All right. And I guess what's my final question? Where's the funds rate going to be at the end of next year?
Yeah, well, our forecast is they go to 5% and on hold for next year. So we would still say at 5% by the end of next year at this point.
And where's the 10-year note going to be at the end of the year? And you've got 10 seconds to tell me.
3.5%.
Okay, not too much more of a rally then. All right, Prashant Pasanyani, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you so much. He's Asia Chief Investment Officer at BNP Paribas Wealth Management.